evening, everybody. I was just telling Pat I missed that bell ringing this morning. I love to hear that church bell ring. It's awfully good to see everybody this evening. Hope you've had a good day. And I just hope the Lord's blessed you. And we'll start the service with Buford singing the song, leading us in a song.
Number 19.
That's good to know, ain't it? I want to welcome those, if there's any out in the parking lot, I'd like to welcome you all and whoever you might be listening in. Grateful that you are. I just wanted to thank the Lord today. We just had a good day. Good and peaceful. Just had a good, peaceful, restful day. I want to thank the Lord for that. I hope and pray that you all did too. Just a good day. Does anyone have a testimony or anything for the Lord?
Thank the Lord for saving me. about my son going to do something, and it got bad. He said he wasn't nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Whatever he's saying on the X-ray and the genesis plan, they didn't say that or whatever, he wasn't nothing to worry about.
Yeah, praise the Lord for that.
MRIG. Well, thank God today, man. Ask everybody, pray for me, so I know that's what I'm just saying, God, pray for me.
Praise you, God.
That's what I mean.
I will be everyone.
Bless you, Donna. No one else said, I've got some scripture I'd like to share with you, the Lord's help. Luke chapter 14. I'm learning a lot of interesting things as I mature. This morning I didn't need my glasses to see fine. This is standard print Bible, and I could see fine, read the Bible. Can't deny it. And that's okay. That's all right. That's part of life. But beginning verse 27, Luke chapter 14, verse 27. And whoso doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else while the other is a great way off, he send an embassage and desire conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I got to thinking and wondering, and I just kind of meditating a little bit on why the churches don't have people in them now like they used to. And you know what I think? This is what the Lord showed me. It didn't count the cost. It didn't count the cost when they started out. I thank the good Lord. Now, I might not have just sat down when the Lord saved me, but I know one thing that night that He did. I had a choice to make, and He told me that was going to be my last choice, and I won't believe anything else. I counted the cost. Was the world worth me burning in hell for an eternity? Didn't take me too long to figure that out. Not long at all. I counted the cost. And I know there's things that come up that we don't think about, you know, we don't realize, and we'll have to go through trials and heartaches and temptations and battles and everything. That's, you know, that's part of the Satan fighting against us. He's mad because he lost us. And we might not know all of that and be able to count that up and figure that out. But I know one thing. I wouldn't trade this. And I tell you what, if you've been saved for 30 seconds of your life, You've been saved for 1 second of your life. You've gone too far to turn back. Because there sure ain't nothing worth turning back to. And I believe with everything in me that it ain't going to be long. I believe that soon and very soon. They used to sing that song here, didn't they? Years ago, when that song like that they sang, soon, very soon, we're going to see the King. Oh, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to that. Just imagine with me, just for a second, just imagine with me. Those eastern skies just lighting up and hearing that trumpet. There's a good Christian friend that I work with, and he said, every time we get a chance to talk, if it's of the morning, he said, Gene, I ain't heard it yet. You know, it's a blessing to me, know that there's you got Christian brothers in Christ that you can go to. But, I want to continue to count the cost. Because Satan's not going to give up. He's not going to give up. He's going to try to dissuade us and discourage us and try to get us to give up, just throw our hands up and quit. Right. And I thought about what Paul said, at some point or another, some of us has gone through something. We just thought, boy, I just can't make it. I just don't know if I can make it or not. And Pat and I have, but I knew I couldn't. I just couldn't, because I knew I had used my last opportunity. And I'm just grateful that the Lord had mercy that one last time and allowed me to understand. I know salvation is free, but we have to sacrifice a few things. And those things that we sacrifice, they're nothing. Paul said they wasn't. He counted them as dung. Y'all know what dung is, don't you? Yep. Exactly right. And that ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. Ain't nothing I want to hold on to. So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that was able to count the cost. And I'm just excited about going home. I'm excited about tonight. I tell you what, and I can't tell you all enough, and I wish there was some way that I could just let you know how that Pat and I feel when you're in a desert, and I'm not talking about for a week or 2 weeks or a month or 6 months or 9 months. I'm talking about for years. I'm talking about for 3 or 4 years. And you find the oasis that God has led you to. I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. And I can't tell you all how much that I love you and appreciate you for loving us, just for letting us be a part of you all and a part of this church. I'm grateful for that. Didn't come to take nobody's place or anything. Didn't come to do that. We come because we needed help. We needed help. And this place has been a place of help. I tell you what, I'm excited about coming to church again. I love it. I'm in love with this church. I'm in love with this church and God's family. I'm just grateful. And don't forget to count the cost. Whatever Satan might bring before you, try to get you to turn back, to turn loose. Don't even think about it. Just don't think about it. It ain't worth it. Just ain't worth it. Well, I appreciate that. I tell you, what's a millionaire going to do for it? You can take all the money that you got and you can't cure cancer with it. So, I know somebody that can, though. If he's got, yep, the whole world ain't worth it. Just ain't worth it. I'm going home. And I want to see you all there. And I tell you, I'm going to see you there. I believe we're going to make it. I believe the Lord's going to help us make it. Anybody got anything?
Over the years, but What page is that, Dickie?
Just 76 in the album.
Yeah. Hadn't changed so long, forgot what page it was. Pray for us. While we are living in this world of care, many the burdens that we have to bear, but there's a parable at the Lord's right hand. Give it a ring and we will understand. Prayer bells of heaven, oh, as we lay the ring, keep ringing, carrying a message unto Jesus, the King of Glory. When you are burdened down with trouble and care, my brother, bring on and on, for God will answer your prayer. Three Hebrew children to the flames were thrown, because the mortal thing they would not own. Jesus delivered and the King then saw. Prayer bells of heaven, be the man-made law. Prayer bells of heaven, oh, how sweetly they ring, keep ringing, bearing a message unto Jesus, the King of Glory. When you are burdened down with trouble and care, my brother, ring on and on, for God will answer your prayers. When Paul and Silas both were thrown in jail, they did not worry who would go their best. But on the prayer bells they begin to roam. All feel this passing, they begin to sing. Prayer bells of heaven, oh, how sweetly they ring, keep ringing, bearing a message unto Jesus, the King of Glory. When you are burdened down with trouble and care, my brother, ring on and on, for God will answer your prayer. Into the garden Jesus went to pray. And feeling sweat between the blood they say, bringing the fervent fire in agony, bringing salvation that we might be free. Prayer bells of heaven, bringing a message unto Jesus, the King of Glory. When you are burdened, there will trouble and care, my brother, ring on and on, for God will answer your prayer.
Good to see everybody tonight. We might have figured out why they couldn't hear us. That's my pocket. But appreciate the Lord tonight, and appreciate the scripture Brother Gene read there. Got to sit down and consider the cost. Got to pick up your cross and follow the Lord. And remember an old song, wherever he leads, I'll go. And if we'll do that, keep that in mind, we can pick up a cross and follow him, can't we? We've got a cross to bear. And appreciate the Lord tonight. Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah in the 54th chapter. I've never preached this quite like this. But I'm going to go to two places in the Bible, and I'm going to read, and I'm going to go to my text in the book of Acts. In the 54th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And you understand, hopefully, when I read these scriptures, and give you the thought that I've got on my heart tonight, and you'll kind of see where I'm headed. Isaiah 54 and verse 2. He said, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen the cords, thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. You may be seated tonight. So in reading this scripture tonight, we know that the Lord's talking about, I mean, if you can imagine this and think about it, this is some of the greatest prophecy that was told in the Bible in the 53rd chapter, as it tells us how that he'll grow up before him, a tender plant. But back of that, he said, who's going to believe our report? And we know that he's talking about the Lord. He's talking about the Son of God. And then he goes on in this chapter right here, and you kind of look out and think about what you're talking about. Starts out, sing, O barren, and that thou didst not bear, break forth and cry aloud, that thou didst not travail with child. You didn't suffer with the child. You didn't suffer what the things of the older patriarchs of God did and went through. But he tells us here, he said, enlarge the place of thy tent. And he said, let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen the cords and strengthen the stakes. I mean, pull her down, strap her down. He's just saying, get ready to grow. He's saying, get ready for it to break out. He said, it's going to break out on the left. It's going to break out on the right. And he said, your seed is going to inherit the Gentiles. Now turn with me to John chapter number 5 here tonight. And I've never preached it quite like this, but something rung my bell today, and it just got on me and wouldn't get off. But in John chapter number 5, you know the story here, and of what happened here on the porch, that there was a lot of people laying around waiting on the moving of the water. There was a pool there, and there was a man there, and the Lord asked him, why didn't he get in the water? And he said, well, I ain't got nobody to help me. And every time I start in, he said, somebody gets in front of me. And Jesus said this right here in verse number 9, or verse number 8. And Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Notice there that the Lord said, get up. And the Bible said immediately he got up and he walked. Now turn your Bibles to the book of Acts in the 3rd chapter. I want to read 3 or 4 verses of scripture here in the 3rd chapter of the book of Acts. Starting with verse number 7. And the Bible said, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that what had happened unto him. And go on over in the next chapter here, and you'll see that the Bible said that man was above 40 years old. And right here is what I want you to get on your mind tonight. Brother, here, I want you to get this on your mind tonight. I'm talking about a man that went from being a beggar to being in the spotlight. That's what I want you to get on your mind tonight. The man that sat and begged, brother, all of a sudden, he became the spotlight. And now think about this all through the Bible. I mean, you'll see here in the Pool of Bethesda, there that man was. What did the Bible say? Every year,
Hey, you went down there waiting on the moving of the water. What happened here? The Bible said in the ninth verse, he said, and immediately he took up his bed and walked. I believe tonight we're seeing a picture here that God has taken men and women and boys and girls and brother bringing them out of poverty and bringing them out of being a beggar, bringing them out of them laying around not having nothing, having no ability to put them in the spotlight. Here this man was, the Bible said, and now think about it here, Peter and John, I was going in the temple that day, being the hour of prayer, was it not? And brother, there laid that man, and they laid him there daily at the gate, and he laid there begging alms, and there when Peter and John come in, that brother expecting to receive something of them, and now think about it, Peter and John, and no doubt was in the spotlight. I mean, they was going into the temple, and brother, not only that, brother, Pentecost had happened, and hundreds and thousands were getting saved, and brother, read the Bible where, brother, where Paul was yonder, and they wanted to honor him, and brother, he said, no, 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 I don't do that. I give God the glory. I mean, you look and see all through the Bible, how were Peter and John being the heroes in the spotlight. Maybe Isaiah yonder, no doubt in the spotlight as we look at it, and no doubt in the book of Isaiah, and we see here for us is born the greatest scripture that's ever been written, and we know that is Isaiah, and we look at him in the spotlight, but God is telling us, brother, there's a time coming, brother, when God's going to take people like me and people like you and get us out of the gutter and put us in the spotlight. Jesus was there with these men one day, and he said, boys, I got to tell you something. He said, I'm here. He said, I'm the light of the world. He said, but when I leave, you're going to be the spotlight. When I leave, you're going to be recognized. Peter and John going to the temple, and there that beggar was, expecting to see a little change from him. But you know what Peter said? He said, I ain't got no money. He said, but what I've got, I give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk, and the Bible said, and immediately his ankle bones received strength, and he got up and he walked, and he leaped and he praised God in the temple. I tell you what happened to him. He become the spotlight. He become the center of attention. What are you saying? I'm saying when God is a blessing and a helping, and people being saved, and people being converted, they ought to be the spotlight. They ought to be the one at the center of attention instead of us. He said, hey, I say unto thee, arise and walk. And he got up immediately, and he was at the spotlight in 3 and in 4. And brother, we ought to be and in a place in our life where we can decrease and let others increase. I don't have to be in the spotlight. I don't have to be recognized. I want to, like Donnie said, I want people to see Jesus in my life. I don't want them to see me, but I want God to use me out there. I want him to use me that I might be able to say something to point somebody to the cross. Point them to the feet of Jesus. Think about it, guys. It's all through the Bible. If we'd let us pick up our cross and begin to follow the Lord, we could see these things. I remember yonder there was a woman. They called in a very act of adultery. And they brought her down and throwed her at Jesus' feet and began to ask him what the Bible said. And you know what Jesus said? Brother, he had the righteous without sin cast the first stone. And they begin to drop the stone and send them away. And he looked at the woman and said, "Woman, who are thine accusers?" And she said, "I have none, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. But go and sin no more." I believe Brother Sheba come the spotlight. I remember reading there the woman, her brother at the well. And the Bible said she went down there to get some water. And you know who she met? She met the Son of God. Why is that? He said, "I must need go through Samaria." He said, "There's a woman down there I'm going to put in the spotlight." And the Bible said, she asked him for the drink of that water. And she went back to town and said, "Come see a man that told me all that I ever did." And you know what it was? That Samaritan woman, she was in the spotlight when Jesus touched her. Thank God tonight, old Legion yonder in the graveyard, when the Lord clothed him and put him in his right mind and he wanted to follow the Lord. Hey, I believe people get in the spotlight and shine right out for Jesus. We're in a place now where people want to, they want to be recognized. I know men with a lot of money that if you can build a place, if you put their name on it, you can build it. But if you don't put their name on it, they won't have nothing to do with it. My Lord, my Savior, he ain't like that. Jesus ain't like him. He didn't tell me when he saved me, had to put a sign on my back. He didn't tell me when he saved me, had to go around telling everybody I was a Christian. Don't take me out of context. But I know one thing. There's times in my life when you pray of a morning, say, "Lord, if there's a door I can go through, I can witness for you." And you know what'll happen? During your day, there'll be a door there. And you know what'll happen? You'll walk in and you'll be the spotlight. Maybe for a minute or two. And what are you doing? And you're trying to get somebody to Jesus. And you're trying to let God use you and get them that's begging, and get them that's blind, and get them that's lame, and let them become the spotlight. How long has it been since you invited somebody to church? How long has it been since you prayed with a sinner? How long has it been since you've listened to somebody's problem? How long has it been that we've got out of the spotlight and put somebody else in the spotlight? You know, I preached a message here one time. I guess the biggest need that ever is, ever was been, the biggest need is to see the need. There was a man laying at the gate. Why did he call it beautiful? I tell you why he did. When Jacob laid his head on that rock and seen that ladder reach the heaven, the earth, and the angels ascending and descending upon it, and brother, he poured the oil on that rock and said, "Surely God's in this place," and I didn't even know it. He said, "Surely this is none other than the house of God." And no wonder it's called beautiful, the gate. And no wonder it's called something that God said in the word wonderful. Thank God tonight that we as people of God, we can stretch out the tent and strap the stakes down and get ready to grow. But we first got to do this, and we got to let them come in the spotlight. Let them be in the spotlight for a little while. Little James at 2 o'clock in the morning told Debbie, Bill took her in there, took him in there. See, you think when the Lord done puts people in the spotlight, things don't happen. Bill took James in there. I believe he said up the hospital today, 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, "Debbie, this little boy right here says he wants to get saved. Said he didn't want to go to hell." Debbie talked to him there and they prayed. And when it was all over, Bill said, "You mean that's all there is to it? You may not say, see, listen tonight, that devil, he wants to complicate things. He wants to let us think we got to do this and do that and do this and do that. I tell you what we got to do. Like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. If we lift up Jesus, he'll draw men to him. And when he draws them to him, I guarantee you, they'll be the one in the spotlight. It won't be me and it won't be you. Give out to Lou. Think about it, guys. Here was a man who was about 40 years old. He was a beggar. He was about 40 years old. And evidently, they'd bring him down there and lay him down there at that gate. Every day. Laying down there in alms. And the Bible said Peter and John went in there. And he was expecting to receive something of them. But old Peter said, honey, I don't have what you want. But I've got what you need. Yes. Hallelujah. He took him by the right hand. He said, get up from there. You've laid too long. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you're going to be in the spotlight for two chapters and all through the Bible. I'm saying tonight, guys, there's people out there that's lame and crippled and laying around the pool. And they're waiting on the movement of the water. But you know what we got to do? We got to give God the glory and the honor and the praise and recognize him. And if we'll do that, God will put some more in the spotlight. I'm looking for more lost to get saved. I'm looking for them to come from the north and the south, the east and the west. You know where my wife's from? She's from as far north as you can go, up in Maine. I'm looking for God to send them from everywhere. I mean, I ain't being crazy. I'm just trying to tell you what God rung my mail with today. I don't know where I read it, don't know where I heard it, but when I did see it or read it or hear it, God said, there it is. And right here is what it is. It comes a time in people's lives, brother, when they have that God passes by and they no longer lay in bag, and they get in the spotlight. And we as the people of God, if heaven could rejoice, we ought to rejoice too. And when people get out of the lame line and get out of begging, and get out of the blindness, and God puts them in the spotlight. Lord, I had nothing but good to say about it. Amen. Amen. We got in a routine. 1, 2, 3, 4, say a little prayer and out the door. That's the truth, ain't it? 1, 2, 3, 4, say a little prayer and out the door. 1, 2, 3, 4, my four, no more. We ought to rejoice, give God honor, and give him praise. We've got them in the parking lot. We've got them coming back in the church. We've got people now getting born again, saved by the grace of God. And people that's begging is in the spotlight now. You know what we ought to do? We ought to hold them up in prayer. We ought to love them. Lord, do all we can. If you don't put a garden out, let it alone. And you got to water it. And you got to weed it. Luke chapter number 8. We got to be careful that the devil don't steal it from them. And brother, if we can get them in a spotlight long enough and get them rooted and grounded in the things of God, later on they'll be a Peter and a John. Get out of the line. Get out of the main attraction. Put somebody else in the spotlight. That's what Peter and John done. Peter and John, here they threatened them and beat them and whooped them and everything else. Said, we ain't having this Jesus raising from the dead. You can quit teaching him that. When we quit teaching about Jesus and him, the main attraction down here at Lick Creek, we just well stack hay in here, Buck. Jesus is the main attraction. Jesus is the Word that became flesh and dwelled among us. He is the one. If we can raise him up and shout his name loud enough from the rooftop and let them hear, and they'll see that there is a God that'll save them. And when he saves them, he'll put them in the spotlight. Have you ever looked at that scripture like that before? Peter and John was recognizable men when they went into the temple. But after that man got up, he got the spotlight. He did. He tore the religious crowd all to pieces. It always will. But just hold them up. Keep them in the spotlight as long as you can. I mean, he walked in leaping and praising God. Some of them said, why ain't that the one that laid out there and bagged? And maybe old Peter might have said this. Yeah, it might have been the one that laid and bagged. I'm talking about going from a bag or two, it being in the spotlight. That's what I'm preaching tonight. You preach anything else other than God loving us enough and giving His only begotten Son to die in our place. Like Buford said, He paid a debt He didn't know, and we owed one that we couldn't pay. And thank God tonight, I mean, He gets us out of the spotlight every now and then, and the beggar gets up. Praise the Lord. Read it all through the Bible. In the Gospels, where Jesus touched people. The woman touched the hem of His garment. You know what happened? She got in the spotlight. Them 10 lepers that He cleansed, and one of them went back and thanked God. You know what happened to that one? He got in the spotlight. Jesus said, didn't I touch 10? Where's the rest of man? They didn't return to give God glory. That's where they're at. I'm going to preach it anyway. It's just like this crowd that don't come to church half the time. They need to get saved what they need to get and put Jesus in their life and everything else will fall in place. Put Jesus out there. Lord, lead me on. Just take me by the hand. Let me follow you. Lord, every now and then when you stop and you bid me to say something, and the words that you speak are spirit, when they move on people's lives, let me just back up and give them the spotlight. Let them worship and praise God. I'm going to tell you something. I never will forget this. I'm going to close. As I'm more preaching now, been preaching for several years. I've been 25, 20 years ago. When the Lord saved him, He brought His little wife up there and they got up off the altar. And he took her, didn't know what to do, spun her around like his square dancing. He was just happy as a coon in a roastineer patch. Why, you got to look over some stuff. They're young in this. Well, they're in the spotlight. Don't condemn them because they're happy. Everybody don't dance the same way. Everybody don't sing the same way. Everybody don't shout the same way. But if it's all pointing to God and His Son, let them be in the spotlight a little while. And stand to their feet. What happened right then? What happened? Peter and John got out of the spotlight. That man right there became the center of attraction, didn't he? He got in the spotlight. He's praising God, and I couldn't handle that. He condemned them. He made them ashamed. Because here was an old beggar. Got in the spotlight. That's what the ruckus was, guys. When people go to praising God, people go to worshiping God, and people go to getting saved. You just well look out. Let's be in the spotlight. Anything before we dismiss tonight? It's something to study about, ain't it? Went from a beggar